Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. The music played a little. We realized all four of us, the panel, was in the green room, and we were pretty much having the discussion we were supposed to have on the air. Then we realized that we didn't have microphones in front of us, and maybe we should actually go on and talk about all the stuff we were talking about. Good morning and welcome. It's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce the panel to you. Making up the group this morning, University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain joins us for the third time this week, and we couldn't be more thrilled.
Good morning.
Have your parking space yet?
Yeah. Right.
It's very nice. And SAS author, editor, and activist Barbara Smith is here.
Good morning.
Want to do on Fridays, so we thank you for being here as well. As Alan mentioned yesterday, he is city bound, so not with us this morning. So, but I'm sure you guys can get all riled up and good enough to
keep the tradition going.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, right, you're ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's talk about...
I'm not as aroused to answer back by, you know, when under these circumstances.
Well, there's still... Still plenty to talk about that you can get excited about, which...
Yes.
Topic, yes.
So let's start with the hearing, the Benghazi hearing yesterday, which I
is it over?
I think it just ended. Actually, about 12 minutes ago, it just ended. We were just saying that it was amazing to us that I remember saying yesterday morning that it was expected to last several hours. And but I had an event last night. I got in the car, and the thing was still on, and I couldn't believe they were still doing it. And but they finally ended. And I'll ask you, what came out of the 11-hour long? It was actually 9 hours. So if you take out the breaks, it was 9 hours of testimony.
I think Barbara Smith just summed it up right before we walked in here. It was a waste of time. What did you learn that you didn't know before? And then the other thing is, Hillary got another chance to look good. Rosemary and I were talking about how the morning news seemed like the morning after a debate. It was like people are rating her, there's overnights, there's surveys. I think she moved the needle in her favor. I think that's the consensus that I'm seeing, and I certainly believe that's the case. And then you wonder why, after millions of dollars and months of quote-unquote investigations, this is what we get. I mean, when I think of Senate hearings and House hearings, I think back to the good old days of Watergate, when it was a bipartisan effort actually to get at the truth. This did not seem like that at all.
Yeah, I'm stunned by the right-wing radio today, which is, it's just rabid. And it's and Carly Fiorina and the other candidates were all tweeting last night. That was really amazing to read, where they said, well, look at this. See, it's proven. She's a liar, and she'll never be held accountable until we have a Republican president. And I'm thinking, wow, they're not even watching the same hearings I am. It just showed to me the divide in this country. I thought they were abusive to her. I thought their questions were out of line and shrill. It was like a bunch of grumpy, angry old men yelling at the teacher. And she acted like the grown-up in the room. I think her counselors gave her great advice to sit there and be calm and always respond politely, even though those questions were not, starting with the very first one. Do you remember that?
Well, I wasn't watching at the beginning.
Oh, you didn't watch it? Yeah. It was basically, okay.
You didn't have all day to watch this?
No, I actually did not have all day to watch.
Oh, you have a life, huh?
But it was even from the very first question, it was like, okay, you're responsible for what happened in Libya. You did it. You were in favor of, like, firing on that. That set up Benghazi. That set up what happened later. You're just a horrible person. And that was the first question. It was not reasonable. It was not measured. Wow.
I was listening to it on the radio yesterday as opposed to watching it. And I don't know if my opinion would be different if I was watching it, but man, there was such anger and rage in the voices of these guys, And it came off as I just thought, being disrespectful. I thought it was unbelievable. So to the point of right-wing radio, to what Mike said earlier, and even Barbara's statement of, you know, what a waste of time. We didn't learn anything that we didn't know before. And I guess that's their point, right? That we were supposed to have found something, that through this process, she was supposed to give up something. And
right.
Because she didn't, she's obviously lying.
But
They had
11 hours to get to that. They had the panel to get to that. They were prepared. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Absolutely.
If they had that much time and that many people who had that objective.
And they had months to prepare, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, and then 11 hours
then what
to
does that tell
it?
You yeah. about the contentlessness, you know, and the fact that this is settled?
Contentless. A reporter friend of mine has compiled that the Benghazi investigations, plural, multiple investigations, have now cost nearly $20 million. That's more than the 9/11 investigations. And they've lasted 532 days. That's longer than investigations into the Kennedy assassination, Pearl Harbor, Hurricane Katrina, and Iran-Contra.
That's unbelievable.
And what have we gotten for that?
Yeah. Well, there was a statement in there that this was the first now I have to remember what it was. That it was the what was the ambassador who was killed since the 70s, I believe.
I think the 70s yeah. was mentioned, but I don't know who that
is. No, I don't either. Yeah. And it was the first one. And so there's a first hearing, and they were saying that this was monumental. But when you look at the list that Rosemary just read of the hearings that we have had, and when was it the 200 and mm-hmm. however many people were killed in Beirut that hearing lasted 3 hours and was one day. So it is you wonder where we go from here, because as we were told,
are they going to issue a report now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And that's where
I thought they had to talk to a whole lot more people. That's what Trey Gowdy said.
Well, they said that was after they were.
I mean, what would they have been doing all these months?
It's just so partisan, though. And the thing is, their hand was tipped by, is it McCarthy?
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy.
Who did not get the position of Speaker of the House, and that may be a big reason. But their hand was tipped. It was so clear. When I tuned in, and I did in the evening, like around 6 or so, shocked to see it was still on. Really shocked.
You got to the good part.
And that woman, you know, said that thing about, so you went home. The night that it happened, and she was asking, "Were you alone?" "Yes, I was," she said, you know, paraphrasing. And then she asked, "All night?" And the thing is, Secretary Clinton laughed. I was laughing because if you go there,
yes.
you're thinking,
yes.
"Oh, so are you saying did I have a nighttime visitor?" That's how it struck her, and she got
yes.
so
was it
angry.
Sidney Blumenthal?
She was so
yeah, right.
angry.
What was
yeah.
that whole thing? Like, she was being pilloried.
This is outrageous. She had 100 emails in her inbox from a friend of hers, and she didn't have any of the emails that came, the 600 alleged emails that came from Benghazi's, you know, the State Department
Diplomats.
Employees there, right? That requested additional security or raised questions about security. And therefore, she's obviously giving access to her friends and she's ignoring the security needs of people in Benghazi. I mean, it's a stretch.
And not only that, Mike, yeah. but you forwarded those emails from Sidney Blumenthal.
That is an indictment, Joe. You know, the side crazy. Element here is that Hillary sat there for hours and kept calm and composure. And, I mean, that demonstrated she has a lot of stamina. That's what you want to see in a president. This didn't really help those trying to derail her presidency. And it's coming at a great time, isn't it?
She had a great week, as we have pointed out. She had Biden dropping out of the race. She's coming off of a really great debate win. I can say that now with Alan not here to poke me in the side. She won the debate. And then, of course, she sailed through this. I think she looked very presidential.
That's what I thought when I started watching.
Yeah, I mean, very much in command.
The gravitas.
And Lincoln Chafee stepped out of the race.
Yes, Lincoln Chafee this morning.
Let's not forget
the impact of that.
Yes,
the impact of that. I know she's breathing a sigh of
relief. Now there's only three Democrats seeking the nomination.
So if there was any fun to be had yesterday, it came in the form of Representative Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland, my new hero. So this guy just attacked the Republicans. His fiery moments were about Sidney Blumenthal's emails and requesting that all his entire email stream be released so we know where the emails were and to put it into a context. But saying he delivered an unbridled attack on the Republican-led committee's investigation, which you described as an abusive effort to derail Secretary Clinton's presidential campaign. It is time now for the Republicans to end this taxpayer-funded fishing expedition.
Do you think the Democrats are just going to walk off? They certainly are making noises about doing that.
What do you lose in that?
Well, if you walk off, they might just look like they're trying to derail this legitimate investigation into what happened at Benghazi and turn it into a partisan fiasco if they walk off. By staying there, they give it the appearance of being a bipartisan effort, which it hasn't seemed to be.
Well, I think that was the thinking going into yesterday. But now that it's over, they declared it a partisan witch hunt. Wouldn't it be an effective move to get off now? It would say we're going to just like stop the pretense.
I was struck last night in listening to the coverage that I kept on thinking to myself, I'm not being fair. I'm not being fair. I'm wondering what the Republicans are getting out of this, and maybe this is all worth it, and I'm just not seeing it. And then Trey Gowdy, who is the chairman, Republican from South Carolina, walks out. And the first question they ask him is, what did you learn during this hearing?
We'll have to look at the transcript.
We'll have to look at the transcript, and nothing comes to mind.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, wow. I mean, I want to be as unbiased as I can be on this, but I don't understand what we get out of this.
Yeah. So, okay, we agree that Hillary came off looking pretty good. How about Cummings? He stood up for her. He had a very it was much publicized yelling match with Trey Gowdy, saying, you know, this is just a farce. Does he look good or does he look bad? He is running for probably Barbara Mikulski's spot.
Yeah.
In the Senate, to move out of the House into the Senate.
Well, I thought he looked great. But I don't know.
Abby, what do you think?
Well, the thing is, because I like him, I probably am not objective. I think he's been a real leader in Congress and particularly in relationship to criminal justice issues that affect the African-American community. Yep. So I just have a lot of respect for him. And he certainly was giving as good as they were.
I think Hillary played well against him too. I'm not saying they rehearsed it ahead of time, but he provided she rehearsed everything according to Right Wing Radio.
She prepared for her testimony.
Yes, she prepared for her testimony. Can you imagine the nerve? She just doesn't want to be held accountable.
Right.
But his interfering with the drilling that she was getting from the other ones, like, provided this time for her to actually say something. And again, she looked really good. So I was impressed by it all. It was fun to watch as a Democrat anyway.
And it's important to remember that there's just a small percentage of people who haven't made their mind up about Hillary. So, there's people who are against her who are probably still against her. There's people who are big supporters who continue to be big supporters. And how did it do the 5 or 10% in the middle? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the motivation was deeper than that, right? It was to derail her as opposed
to wanted to get some clips that they could use in the attack ads. I don't know if her testimony yielded any of those clips.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that. I don't know if that was a conspiratorial theory, too, that some of the questions were asked specifically to get her going so that she could make a, why do we care about it now kind of statement that they would use in attack ads. Do you really think that? I mean, I don't know. That's just as planned as saying that she had plotted out what she was going to say for her own.
Even the congressmen who were interrogating her will use clips of them being hard on her in their home districts. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the way it is now. It's theatrics.
Well, and also, she's been in public eye for 30 years. There's certainly a lot of tape that they can use.
Mm-hmm. And what don't
anybody?
I'm sorry. What don't we know about Hillary Clinton?
That's,
you know, like it or don't like it, we know everything.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll I'll do a couple letters here, and then we'll go to the news. Tom says, makes me laugh when liberals talk about government waste. Ben says, can we sue those committee members to recoup our losses for the wasted time and taxpayers' money? George says, I learned that Hillary is one tough broad. She's only a little younger than me, and I couldn't have stood that. It looked like cruel and unusual punishment to me. She'll do fine standing up to Putin. And Marie says, last night I had a fascinating conversation with my 90-year-old mom who watched the Benghazi hearings all day. She watches Fox News and listens to all those horrible radio talk shows, so I was prepared for the worst. Needless to say, we never talk politics. Her take? Marie, you know, I never liked that woman, but I'm furious at the way they are treating her, and they're all men. I'm disgusted. So congrats, Republicans. If you can alienate my mom, one of your base, you just screwed up big time.
Wow.
That's a really
Rick Lazio, too. You know, that was the big boost for her when she was running in the Senate when he came over and bullied
across,
her.
Yeah.
Entered her personal space, as they say. It was similar. Mm-hmm.
We will. And Cody says, does anyone actually think Clinton's testimony will silence the right regarding Benghazi? This, along with her email and every other non-scandal associated with her, will continue to be used by Republicans. The real scandal here is the money wasted on these unnecessary theatrical and vindictive witch hunts.
That liberal jab that we got, you know, it isn't the liberals who put this ridiculous theater that we saw into play and has spent all this money. It's the same conservative Republicans who are saying we have to cut waste. So that's why it's hypocrisy that we're pointing out as liberals, not that I'm so upset about spending that much money on a hearing.
We'll get to some more letters. We'll get to many other topics and more conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Making up the group this morning, Mike Spain of the Times Union, SUNY Albany journalism professor, Rosemary Armeo. I'm sorry, University at Albany journalism professor. And, and Barbara Smith joins us, author, editor, essayist, and activist, and a pleasure to have you all with us this morning. Should note, our good friend Libby Post will be back on Monday. Libby, since the fun drive, Libby hasn't been with us because she's been traveling, and people have been caught wondering if we fired her. But no. She'll be back on Monday.
No.
We love Libby, and she'll be back on Monday. All right, some quick letters. I am retired, so I got to watch most of yesterday's farce of a congressional hearing, says Cynthia. Representative Cummings was fantastic, but don't forget Adam Schiff of California. He really nailed the committee for their obvious partisanship, and especially Trey Gowdy. Hey, what's with the hair, by the way? For being a prosecutor, her comment, not mine. Hillary wasn't supposed to be prosecuted. She answered the same questions over and over and over again. Excellent discussion today, says Martha. Perhaps you could a little bit of a shot there, so I'll move on. Andrew says, Republicans can't effectively run a hearing. Can they expect us to believe that they can run a country? And Denise says, some of the people that I know who have been Bernie Sanders supporters, mostly women, switched after watching that bullying Republican circus. I would like to see Representative Cummings as Hillary's Veep pick.
It's interesting. He's from Maryland, which
the
makes
Northeast.
Him wrong
if he was from the Southwest, he'd have a better chance, don't you think, or the Midwest?
Well,
maybe we need him in the Senate.
I know. Yeah. Wouldn't he be more effective in the Senate? He'd have more to do there, but
he was doing plausible denial, though, in that article.
Yes.
He said he'd like to stay in his district, and he loves what he's doing now, and et cetera, but as the article said, when the Senate, the polling around him being a candidate for Senate is so good, How can you turn that down?
I would say that Senator Gillibrand in New York is still representing this district, her home district, right?
Yes, so, absolutely.
You,
know,
you can continue to do both when you're in the Senate.
All right, let's move on to President Obama and sentencing reform. Yesterday, while the spotlight was certainly on the Capitol, on Capitol Hill, with Congress considering legislation that would be its first major criminal justice reform measures in decades, President Obama launched what will be a multi-state speaking tour in support of broad criminal justice reform on Thursday, calling for changes to make criminal sentencing, prisons, and policing more fair. He said, quote, "We're in a unique moment in which, on a bipartisan basis across the political spectrum, people are asking hard questions about our criminal justice system and how can we make it both smart, effective, just, and fair." The president's comments came during a White House forum on Thursday, led up by Bill Keller, editor-in-chief of the Marshall Project, a nonprofit online journalism organization that focuses on criminal justice issues in the United States.
So,
Barbara, I'll begin with you.
Yeah, so another short comment. It's about time. Yeah. I think that we all know that our criminal justice system has many, many problems and flaws, and the overrepresentation of people of color in it shows that it's not just about criminal, you know, protecting people from criminal acts, because a lot of those people are in for drugs.
Yes.
and involvement with drugs, but it's known that the use of drugs in our country is pretty even across racial and ethnic groups. So if a lot of people are doing time, but the incidence of drug use is similar across racial and ethnic groups, and what's going on here. And then, of course, there's, we've been talking so favorably about Hillary Clinton, but we can't forget when President Clinton was, Bill Clinton was in, all the things that he did to make those punishments more draconian, particularly three strikes.
Right, three strikes is horrible. Three
strikes and mandatory minimums, yeah.
Mike, talk a little bit about the project, the Marshall Project.
Well, the Marshall Project is led by Bill Keller. He's the former executive editor of the New York Times, and it's a not-for-profit foundation-funded organization based in New York City that has – he leads a team of investigative reporters that essentially cover criminal justice and uncover injustice and document that. And they've been doing a lot of really good reporting about the New York State prison system. They recently had a lengthy piece that the New York Times ran on the front page that showed how difficult it is to go after a prison guard in New York State because of union rules, et cetera, and hold them accountable. And even, you know, even when there was profound evidence of a really brutal beating at a prison in Ulster County, this guard that was accused and implicated in it, he basically took a prisoner off to an area that wasn't, being looked at by a camera, and just the guy had to be rushed to Albany Med. He had a testicle had to be removed, and he was in serious condition for a long time, and now he's out of prison and living in a halfway house in Brooklyn. In the New York Times ran the story that the Marshall Project ran, and the prison guard back to work, you know, has seniority, you know, they wanted to fire him, they couldn't. It's just an example of the kind of good work that they're doing that reveals all the reasons why the criminal justice system needs this reform and why sentencing reform is getting such attention now across the country. Prisons don't work, they're not effective, it's full of people who are just being punished, and it's expensive. If they put some of that resource ahead of time into fixing some of the problems in society, it would be a lot cheaper. Yep. We'd all be a lot better off.
Right.
And we have more people in prison than countries all over the globe put together.
Right.
And keep
Indeed.
Them there longer, too, for the same crimes. So I love that, what Mike is talking about, because once again, you see the connect. It was investigative reporters, not government regulators, not even the advocates relatives or people who have gotten out of prison. It was reporters who put this on the national agenda so that Barack Obama now is championing it. This was not in his original campaigns. He never talked about doing this, and yet it's a really important thing that he has added.
I don't think that we can underestimate the impact of movements for social justice and change and getting to him as well. He talks about Black Lives Matters and how it's really
true.
Important. I don't think it's just, you know, I have, you know, huge amounts of respect, not to say love, for journalism and, you know, for all writers, because, you know, that's really.
You love us, Barbara.
Yes, I do. Yes, well, it's like us, because I'm a writer, too.
You're a writer. So, you're an author, published author,
but,
in fact.
But I have a lot of respect. As I said, journalism to me has a particular role because of its potential for truth-telling, for advocacy, and also being able to write quickly.
Right.
I think that's really impressive. But be that as it may, we can't, as I said, underestimate the political.
And they work together, too. As, as your own career shows, it's not like they're disconnected. The activists use the information and the outrages that are drummed up by journalists. And so you're seeing a good thing. This is really, this is democracy in action.
Yeah, the Marshall Project is interesting, too, because it's a different a different path for journalism. It's not owned by a company that's trying to make money. It's foundation funded, and it has come out with the evidence that a lot of people need to
make change.
Make change, exactly.
Yeah. So unlike the committee in Congress, this is how democracy really can work.
Mm. I think also this particular article that is reporting on and
Washington Post, right?
Quoting, you know, what President Obama said about this, he did also talk about the concept of Black Lives Matters. Does that mean that people who assert that are saying that nobody else's lives matter?
Now, that was a given
absolutely
before.
Not. Yeah, absolutely
yeah, people's
not.
Lives matter, but sometimes it's important.
Well, the thing is, it's because, like, from time out of mind, there's been an incredibly violent response to Black life in the United States from time out of mind. It begins with the origin story of chattel slavery.
Right.
And the only way that you could enforce such a system is with violence, because it's so against the human spirit and human nature to be held captive for no reason. I mean, people were captured and held captive from one end of their life to another. And, of course, rational people, whether they were rational in the system or not, but when they thought about it logically, not rationally, but when they thought about it logically, if that was happening to me, I'd be very angry and I might try to be doing something to get out of it. So we better enforce this through violence. And that was how, you know, that's how that ball got rolling.
The quote from the president yesterday, I think that the reason that the organizers used the phrase Black Lives Matter was not because they were suggesting that no one else's lives matter, rather than they were suggesting was there is a specific problem that is happening in the African-American community that's not happening in other communities, and that is a legitimate issue that we've got to address.
And as I said, if we look at it historically, it's taken different forms in different eras. In the late 19th century post-enslavement and to the really the first half, past the first half of the 20th century, lynching was the form. So the thing is, if we connect Black Lives Matter to that history of lynching, then we see, oh, okay, I see what you mean. And then there are also, there are other kinds of attacks and murders that weren't defined as lynching. But there were thousands of people who were lynched from that late 19th century when they started keeping statistics until the 1960s. That's when they stopped keeping statistics about lynchings officially in the 1960s. Mm. So we have a history of that, and now we have hate crimes. Mm. So the thing is, as I said, whatever the era is, we have manifestations of the devaluing of Black
life.
Well,
tie that into prison reform.
Mm-hmm.
Tie that in.
Oh, you're asking me to tie it in?
Yes, please.
Well, the thing is that I may not be able to answer the question that you're asking, but I guess I would say I would wanted to agree with Mike about why don't we look at the things that lead to those kinds of outcomes. And as an educator and a person really committed to educational issues, we know that there's such a thing as a school-to-prison pipeline. It begins with the over-policing in some ways of kids in school systems where, like, 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds get taken out in handcuffs for what would have been handled in other times,
bring in
other
a
places.
Clock and you're a terrorist. Yeah.
Well, it's just, You know, like, as I said, and the thing is, it's shown that, like, the number of out-of-school suspensions that kids have in their earlier days of school, it can be correlated with them ending up in the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I like to work on the front end as opposed mm-hmm. to...
If they just took a fraction of the resource we mm-hmm. spend on prisons in the U.S. and put it up front back into Head Start programs and early school programs and...
Like the Harlem Children's Zone.
Right. Like, you know, Jeffrey Canada and those. It would just pay immensely.
The outcomes would be really different. Yeah. When I was on the Common Council and was in close contact with our Albany Police Department, and this circumstance that I'm describing is like when a crime happened. And one of my first questions, when one of the chiefs or the assistant chiefs would call me, I would say, "Did they finish high school?" And the answer was almost always no. So there's that's not scientific, that's not social science, that's just me asking, did this young person who's still a teenager...
Well, the data would probably support that, mm-hmm. that, you know, anecdotally, if you fail in the school system, your life is on a bad path.
Right, yeah, you don't have the motivation.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will get a couple of letters in, and then we will go on to another issue or two. In our final segment this morning of our roundtable panel, Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, Barbara Smith, I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Strings Instrument School of Lutery, Windsor Mill, North Adams, Massachusetts. Working to guide students through hand-building guitars, mandolins, and ukuleles, BerkshireStringedInstruments.com for class registration. Mabee Farm Historic Site, an 18th-century farm on the banks of the Mohawk River, featuring interactive food exhibit, Instagram photo exhibit, talks, nature trails, and events for children and adults. Accepting reservations for basket weaving workshops, SchenectadyHistorical.org. And Otsego 2000, presenting Glimmer Glass Film Days, November 5th to 9th, in Cooperstown. Films exploring natural sacred places with filmmaker talks, parties, and hikes. GlimmerGlassFilmDays.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Very nice to have you with us this morning. Let me get to a couple of letters and then we'll move on to another topic or two before we disband for this morning's outing. Cody says, the reason Black Lives Matter is correct instead of All Lives Matter is the same reason why during the 1960s saying All Rights Matter would completely miss and obscure the injustices Black Americans were experiencing. Black Rights Matter would be appropriate then, and so... Black Lives Matter is appropriate now. Susan on the Benghazi hearing says, the hearing was a Saturday Night Live skit waiting to happen. Mrs. Clinton demonstrated once again, when it comes to foreign policy, there isn't another candidate, Democrat or Republican, who even comes close to matching her experience.
I am looking forward to the Trey Gowdy impersonation.
Yeah, who's going to play Trey
Dana
Gowdy?
Dana Carvey is my choice.
Yeah, could do that.
Of the woodwork.
Or Martin Short would be good, too.
Grace asks this question. Can the panel explain why the Republicans think that it was to Obama's advantage to say that the attack was caused by a video rather than by a group of organized terrorists?
Sure, because Libya was supposed to be a big positive for the Obama administration. And terrorism in a place that was supposed to be a big victory would look bad just before he was up for re-election. So instead, it was supposed to be this spontaneous thing caused by really the media.
If you include
a filmmaker as the media was their fault. That's the thinking. I don't agree with that. But actually, you know, I do think the Republicans have some questions. I really would like to know what is true. Why did she tell her family one thing and tell us something else? I don't think it was criminal. I don't think it's worth the $20 million investigation. But why did that happen? And yeah, it was September 11th, yeah. Which is a time that we know terrorist attacks happen. And yes, money had been cut for diplomatic security. But what place needed the security more than Libya? Why wasn't there increased security? I think there are some real questions.
There's a deference, though, to the diplomats on the ground and Stevens and his colleagues in Libya were – They didn't want that separation between he and the people. He was beloved by
right.
the community.
Yes,
in fact,
was. That's why he was probably in harm's way.
He was in harm's way. I mean, but you know, he made himself available to the public
Correct.
And didn't want those obstacles and was a casualty
paid
a of
paid
that.
Paid a price for yeah. that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other things too. There was CIA activity in Benghazi that we haven't gotten to the bottom of it.
Was this a failed intelligence? Another blunder because of failed intelligence analysis? Who knows?
So, I mean, I support Hillary. I think she did a great job, but I don't think it's baseless that there are questions still to be answered about Benghazi.
I love the fact that you. In context of being a supporter, can ask her questions.
Right.
That's great. I like that.
And I think she would have responded differently had they been posed in a different way. She
mm-hmm.
was responding to that angry, shrill tone both this time and in the previous investigation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Tom says, fair point, Rosemary. I certainly don't think the Republicans have done themselves any good here. The basic issue here is Hillary's incompetence. Only in the government would someone get a job managing a 70,000-plus person organization with no management experience.
Hillary has proved herself able to expand her talents into the need required in a number of jobs. She did a pretty great job in the Senate and had never been a legislator before. However, I've never been in the camp. Again, I'm a supporter. I've never been in the camp that she's the best Secretary of State. I don't even think she's been the best Secretary of State under Obama. I think Kerry's been remarkable, including right now he's trying to reopen the Israeli-Palestinian talks.
Let's get to a couple more topics and as we close out and just have a few more minutes. Mike, do you want to get to Governor Cuomo
yeah.
expanding protections for the transgender community?
Yeah, this is interesting. Since 2008, the Assembly has passed a bunch of bills called Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act. They make up that package, or GENDA, as it's known. And every year, the state Senate just pretty much blocks it. So this week, Governor Cuomo announced he's just going to make an end run around the state legislature, and he's going to just unilaterally do it with executive order and basically stop, you know, order the end of discrimination based on gender identity, transgender status, or gender dysphoria, basically implement the tenets of GENDA, the legislation that gets stopped in the state Senate, and protect the rights of gays and lesbians and transgender people in the workplace, for rental properties, and in other public situations. This is an interesting political dilemma for people. A lot of progressives, a lot of moderates are angry at the governor. They don't like his style. But when it comes to the rights of gays and lesbians and transgender people, he has an enormously successful record. He pushed through marriage equality in his first term, and he has just firm support from this segment, and it's hard to argue with that.
Well, I did not see this story. I must.
This was a late ad for Mike
right.
when he came in this morning. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, the thing is, I'm just really excited. This is huge news. This
yeah.
is really huge news.
He was at a dinner of the Empire State Pride Agenda in Manhattan when he made this announcement. He got their Silver Torch Award, which underscores the support he has from this community. I mean, he's dedicated to this level of civil rights, which is, outstanding, and he's getting a lot of praise for it today.
Well, as I said, I feel like I'm sitting here on a historic day, not unknowingly until you enlightened us. But this is really important because people don't understand that the rights that have been won, that have been so remarkable and historic in and of themselves, I'm thinking specifically of gay marriage, that as people said, you could go get married on a weekend and you could be fired from your job on Monday. Because there are no protections. And particularly for the trans community, this is really, really important. There's much more trans visibility these days, both through popular media, through writing, through activism.
But Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes, indeed, which I watched every minute of that. That's the only reality show I've ever watched every minute of. And that show was really different because it really dealt with social issues, social and, you know, justice issues.
I have watched
as she lived on her mountaintop mansion.
Forever, because it is very, I never know where they're going to go. I mean, you think they're worthless and terrible, and they are.
Yeah,
but
can we argue about
that? They are. I mean, 17-year-old having all kinds of body, you know, surgery and all. And yet, they have been a significant player in this whole movement for trans rights. I mean, you can't deny it.
Right. It's really, well, there's some little conflict in the family. I'm not sure that everybody is as excited as everybody else. But the thing is, they're fascinating. And certainly, as I said, this was a cut above, you know, that particular documentary. But what I wanted to say, and I don't want us to get out of this off of this topic before, the incidents of violence toward people who are trans, and including murder, is phenomenal. And that includes treatment by the police departments and law enforcement when violent acts occur. In Albany, and in Albany County, I think that probably this is now settled law. There are guidelines for our both the police department and the Albany mm-hmm. County Sheriff's mm-hmm. Office at how those law enforcement personnel interact with people who are trans in the context of a stop or an encounter.
So I have to mention the movie, if you've not seen it, an independent movie getting a lot of attention called Tangerine.
And I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's getting attention because it was actually shot using iPhone 5S, not real camera. So it's very cheaply done, but it's just a heck of a movie. And it centers on the trans community in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And these are people that you end up at the end caring about, and you think
they're humans. I was going to say we're humans. I'm not trans, but I identify with
kind
all humans.
and you think, wow. So yeah, there's some remarkable work being done. I confess to some annoyance that the trans community has gotten so much attention and action so quickly, and feminists have not. I mean, I'm still not getting the same pay.
I don't know, Rosemary.
Not a contest.
Rosemary, why do you always pull the pin on a major conversation at 5:58:39?
Next week, Barbara.
Well, the thing is, you know, I've been a feminist since 1970,
yes, I know.
Whatever.
That's why I bring
you know,
it up.
So it's not that I'm not one. It's just that I don't see exactly, you know, pitting them against each other.
Oh, I don't want to pit it. I want to steal the tactics and use them.
These regulations that the governor put into place are targeted to fight harassment and discrimination in public and private housing, employment, credit applications, education, public accommodations, including how people
are
treated.
But
it
is to solve the rift between Barbara and Rosemary.
And
no rift.
There's no rift.
They're still trying to get it. You know, the assembly sponsors still want to see it made law, but this is essentially happening by executive action of the governor. And
all right.
Very interesting.
We are out of time, but thank you very much, everyone, for being with us. We'll be back on Monday. More Roundtable next.